crazy, almost 100. It's soon going to be 2 years. 2 years!
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, I'm not, but I'm not going to be more ready. We know Donald. We have the best Donald.
Exactly. We have the best Donald. It's true.
Hello, I'm Radek.
I'm Michael.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day working on our app, Nozbe.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
Are we really going to do this?
Yeah, we do say whatever else comes to mind, right?
We're breaking like every single rule about how not to get into trouble on the internet.
Yeah. So, something that is on my mind right now and for which I need a sounding board, is the subject of politics.
Great. Next time we can talk about religion.
Yeah, let's do that. No.
No, let's not do that.
So why... yeah, this is crazy because... You know, the first rule of not pissing people off on the internet is don't talk about politics. The second rule is, you know, look up the first one, right? So
yes.
We shouldn't be talking about politics. No. But, you know, I'm a CEO of a company that has, you know, hundreds of thousands of users and many of them in Poland as well, in my home mm-hmm. country, right? In our home country. So I should be, you know, above it. I should be above politics. I shouldn't be get involved because I don't want to, you know, alienate my people. I want to focus on productivity, getting things done, stuff like that, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, but very often what they ask me to do in Poland and outside of Poland is to speak also about entrepreneurship, you know, how to start a business, how to inspire young people to start businesses, the Nozbe story, you know, our 10 years in business and things like that. So they also... like not only productivity, but also, you know, entrepreneurship and, you know, business and stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is that normally politics is for politicians. And, you know, we are not the only time we get involved with politics is when we vote, right? Mm-hmm. So we vote, you know, we do our civic duty. And if you're not going, if you're not voting, you're doing it wrong. You know, we should, you know, do this. This is how we can influence what's happening in our countries, in our communities. Which is great.
Right.
But the problem with voting is that many people don't show up. And mm-hmm. and then sometimes people win who I don't know, think it's a good idea that they won. And we had a few examples of that recently. But the worst problem what I have is that if we vote politicians or governments that are doing crazy stuff, like really bad stuff for us, for our economy and for our businesses, you know, we shouldn't, you know, the thing is, you know, I should, like, I have this problem of, I want to focus on my business, just my business, you know, on Nozbe, on productivity, on the product, and want to be focused there. But when the politicians start influencing how I structure my company or where I have my company or how I run my company because of the stupid decisions they make, I'm starting to think about it, you know, if I should really not get involved, you know, not start to, you know, to talk about, you know, some values that they should be representing, you know. Okay, mm-hmm. we voted them in, but it doesn't mean that once we voted them in, you know, they can do whatever they want, you know. I mean, and they can break the values and promises, which they of always do. But because the thing is, I appreciate... you know, differences in politics. I mean, in the views. Like, mm-hmm. you can be more liberal, more conservative. Like, you know, Republican, Democrat, whatever. Like it's fine. I don't want to convince anyone the other way around. I mean, it's fine. But there is a problem with ethics, with making stupid things, with really actively, they want me to talk about entrepreneurship, but on the other hand, they are destroying entrepreneurship. So, like, mm-hmm. Should I be just speaking to, you know, on a conference about entrepreneurship while this is being destroyed by the government? Like, should I be just silent? You know, that's the problem that I have. You know, should I risk alienating some of my customers because I will be, you know, pro some values. But then again, I believe in these values, you know? And I'm not saying that this and this party should you know, you should vote for this or this party. But no, I would say you should vote for these and these values. And which party represents these values, like, right? I mean, I don't know.
No, that's tricky. That's why politics is so difficult to talk about for people like us. Because you don't want to piss off people... just for fun. And you generally like, you know, same as you, I don't care about all the labels in politics as in, oh, I'm, you know, this or that. But when you see the specifics, it can be really frustrating because it's not just an isolated, area of life. The whole thing about politics is that it influences things.
Exactly.
There's a bunch of like things which happen only in politics, and if you don't care about politics, you can tune out of that and not care, and ultimately it doesn't matter. But then if you have a destructive government that changes laws in such a way that it starts to affect you personally or people around you, or just, you know, maybe not people around you, but you can see how destructive it is, and it's kind of difficult to not say anything about that.
Exactly. I mean, I remember, you know, a few years back when we had this situation, when we had like a certain political crisis, and there was some, like, there were like the politicians were busy with each other, you know, like destroying each other on this level. At the same time, we had economic growth in our country. And one of the comics, comedians, he said, "This is great. Let the politicians like deal with them and leave us alone. Yes. And we are going to be just fine."
Yeah.
So I'm all for that. You know, let like politicians, you know, go kill yourself. I mean, you know, shout at each other in the TV programs. I don't really care about that. As long as you're not really effectively destroying what we're building. But if you are starting to destroy what we're building, then it's no longer, like, I don't think it's a case of where I can, you know, actually just stay quiet.
Right. So how do you weigh that? I mean, the benefit of you being a voice, so like using the little bit of influence you have to, you know, to say what you think is right, versus the risk that, well, it doesn't matter anyway, and you're alienating people unnecessarily.
Yeah, that's really that's the big question, because that's the big question, because like when I was observing, for example, the last elections in the US and also the Brexit situation, and also our elections in Poland last year, no, 2 years ago. So, but especially the elections in the Donald Trump, you know, situation in the US. Mm-hmm. And of course, what I realized is that people try to be civil about it, you know, but there is a person lying his way forward, you know, and lying his way to become a president. And he's being very vocal about it. And there are people being very vocal about it. And lots of people say, okay, I mean, there's no way he's gonna, you know, win.
Yeah.
And then he wins. And the question is, like, shouldn't the other people who really, you know, voted against him, shouldn't be more vocal about, you know, what's happening? I should be more vocal, you know? Of course, it was also totally a mistake of the other candidate who just didn't keep up with that. You know, it's always like that. I mean, this is what happened also in Poland. In Poland, one party lost because it thought it's going to win by default, and it didn't.
Yeah.
So it's the same situation. So it's all the politician's fault. But the problem is that we pay the price. Like in the situation of Donald Trump, pro-Trump people were very vocal. And you know, other people were not, right? And it's the same. Mm-hmm. It's the same with the situation in Poland. The people who are for the governing party right now are very vocal. The ones who are against it, well, are not that much. And I don't know if it makes sense for me. But on the other hand, if I don't do nothing, if I just don't do anything, if I just say, if I don't say anything, it's like somebody. I think somebody said somewhere that, you know, if you're not polarizing, you are boring. basically. So mm-hmm. I don't do it for the, you know, glamour of being polarizing, but I think that when you polarize, when you put, you know, I believe in these values, then, you know, then you're saying something, right? Like, yeah. like the other, you know, the other, like a few years ago, I wrote a blog post on my blog saying that I'm a Catholic, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this because I'm a Catholic and I want everybody to be Catholic. No, I'm just saying that this is what I do. I mean, this is my, these are my values. I'm Catholic, right? And I go to church and stuff.
We should definitely not talk about religion next episode.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that by expressing this, I don't remember having any angry emails about it, but mm-hmm. having positive emails from people who said, you know, it's nice, and not from other Catholics, but from other people, just not religious, saying, you know, it's nice that you're just saying what you believe in, right? They really liked it for some reason. But the politics is different because politics is very emotional.
No, I understand. I can see you struggle with expressing that nuance because it is tricky. I mean, if it wasn't tricky, we probably wouldn't talk about this. I know precisely what you mean, but I think the problem is the thing about polarizing. I think it makes a lot of sense in marketing. Probably mm-hmm. makes sense kind of personally in relationships with people. I mean, don't be boring. Like, be true to yourself. Just polarize. Mm-hmm. But with politics, the problem is that I think part of the reason why we got where we are now with in a lot of countries with Trump, with Brexit, with our situation in Poland too, is because politics is too polarizing. Mm-hmm. Politics has this this capability of shutting down intelligent discourse about concrete issues, and just creates these camps, these silos that people put themselves in, and you know, you said you don't want to like talk about liberal, conservative, like that's the whole thing, right? That there are these labels that people create for themselves, and it's problematic because if you put yourself in that category, you start listening to those people in that category and mostly agreeing with those people versus disagreeing with the other people, and it doesn't leave much room for conversation, like real talk, like, hey, why do you think you know, this and this is should be so and so, like, you know, there's little room to have meaningful conversation to try to understand the other person and either convince them otherwise, perhaps, or be convinced, or at least understand why someone would come to such a conclusion. But it so rarely happens because it's so polarizing that people either put themselves in, you know, one of two camps, or are so frustrated that they say nothing about politics and want to have nothing to do with. So I think the point about polarizing is problematic because there's been this whole talk about filter bubbles, right? And how that's been amplified by technology. So this is, you know, is another reason for technologists to pay attention, because this is partly technology's fault. At least that's what some people would say, and I think I would agree. You know, the idea is that in the past, at least you would usually have one common source of information, and you could disagree on that, but at least have a common understanding about what the pieces of information are. And now that people, you know, watch TV less and less, and just mostly use all the Facebooks and Twitters and all that stuff, once you are inclined to one kind of view in politics and start following certain people, following certain pages, you're just, you know, the algorithm is brutal in overfitting and will serve you the things that will amplify the beliefs you already hold. So it's just like, so it's a confirmation bias machine, essentially.
Yeah. Okay, so let me tell you. The problem that I see is, especially observing what just happened, for example, what is happening right now in the UK, which mm-hmm. is, for me, pretty close to my heart, because we have friends there and we are traveling to the UK almost almost every year, practically, and you know, last year even twice, I think. So I know UK pretty well. Is that they're right now leaving the EU, they will have the Brexit, right? And so the problem is, when you vote people in, they can do stuff and they can change policies or whatever, you know. But my issue is this. I really love the fact that Poland is in the EU. Mm-hmm. I think you know, being in Poland, you know, historically being a communist, you know, part of communist regime, becoming a free country with free speech. So these are my values, free speech. You know, you can say whatever you want. So free speech, and you can do whatever you want. So
yeah, after 50 years.
After 50 years, exactly. And then becoming part of NATO, and so the military alliance, and then later in the EU, is such a big deal. It's just amazing. And then thanks to the EU, I think, we don't have any wars for now here in Europe, because we have the EU. I mean, everybody's together. We even have no borders. Right now, me as a Polish person, I can travel to any country in the EU just with my ID, and I don't even have to carry a passport on me. And I can rent an apartment and just start living there without asking questions. So
what you do? I mean, you live in Spain. You're not a Spanish a national.
Exactly. I go from Spain to Poland, and I can, you know, live here, live there, and I don't have to explain anything to anyone, right? So this is amazing. This is just fantastic. And mm-hmm. and what happened with the Brexit? Like, the short story is this: there was this politician, Mr. Cameron, who didn't have enough votes, and he wanted to gain some votes. So he said to people, I'm going to give you, to people who are angry with the EU, that he's going to give them a referendum, so they can choose if they want to stay in the EU or not. Of course, he was thinking, you know, whatever, I'm just going to say this because it's cheap. You know, I can say whatever I want, and I'm going to get the votes. And of course, nobody will vote to leave the EU, so it's going to be fine, right?
Turns out.
And then next year, like just 1 year later, they vote, like by a short margin, they vote to go out of the EU. Mm-hmm. And he resigns, of course, which is like very like brave thing to do. Like, you know, chapeau bas, Mr. Cameron, very nice. And now, even though members of the British Parliament don't want to leave the EU, they will do it by default because the British citizen said so. So kind of by accident, they're going mm-hmm. to leave the EU and make like a seppuku for themselves. Really, like a bad thing is going to happen. I mean, really, there's nothing good that's going to come out of it. Nothing good. So mm-hmm. it's bad for the EU. It's bad for the UK. And it's bad for everyone. But what I'm saying is that it happens like with small innocent steps and stupid political, you know, agenda. And we landed here. And now Mrs. Theresa May, who is the next prime minister, she's going to do it. Although, you know, they still can stop it, but they won't, because it just, you know, and it will be out, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what happened. Why did the British vote to leave the EU? Again, something that failed, and something that I recently discovered in our company as well: internal marketing. So in our company last year, we had a few disagreements about what we do about marketing and everything. And very often what I found out is that people said, Michael, you know, Nosby is good, but we're not doing this and that and that. And I'm like, of course we're doing that. Like, mm-hmm. of course we are. But again, with 20-something people in the company, not everyone knows what's happening in the company. And I realized now, then, that I'm really bad at internal marketing, like promoting what we're doing, you know, channeling, you know, what we're doing, why, you know, what we're doing, what works, what doesn't work, you know, what's happening. So people didn't know what's happening, and they assumed, you know, nothing is happening, or the marketing team is confused and everybody's confused and everything. And we had some issues, but we had some really good wins as well, but we didn't communicate them properly. Mm-hmm. And it was the same with the UK. They didn't do any good marketing for the EU. They thought, you know, we're on this island, we don't care, we have pound, we don't really need the EU. They didn't tell you know, the people, like, yeah, you get lots of subventions, you get lots of, you know, help from the EU, like all these things that's happening thanks to the EU. No, they said, yeah, they just forgot about it. They just decided not to, like, I mean, they did something, but not good enough, I guess. Because if I mean, really, when I was in the UK recently, and I asked a few people I know about this, they were like very ambivalent about the EU. Like, really, they didn't care about it so much. So really, they did really poor, you know, internal marketing, right?
No, so that makes sense, because the thing is that there's plenty to complain about the EU.
Of course,
it's a huge bureaucratic machine. Sometimes it does silly things.
It does.
You can argue about a lot of details or even important things, like the euro. You know, the currency. It's a really useful thing in theory. In practice, there's like serious technical challenges, which are kind of tricky to explain in a few words, but it probably isn't such a good idea, because it's not one country, it's multiple countries. So there's so much you can complain about the EU, and saying, like you mentioned, you know, Poland being in NATO, well, there's plenty you can complain about that. And like, I don't think either of us is particularly a big fan of the US foreign policy, but that's not the point. The point is that Europe is still stronger with the European Union than without it. I mean, I think I might be wrong about this, but I have a sense that in the UK, people have a strain of exceptionalism, like in the US.
Yeah.
Except the difference is that the US is a big, massive country, I think third largest by number of people, so much, you know, finance, technology, like there's so much things in the US, the largest military in the world, all that stuff, right? The Great Britain, it's pretty nice, but, you know, it's not as great as it used to be. Like it's not an empire anymore. It's not a tiny country, but it's not a huge country either. And I think they, you know, it's easy to not appreciate the things that you do not see. And, you know, day to day, like living their lives in Britain, like you wouldn't see all the good that comes from having a union that, like, altogether, this would be, third largest country, if it was a country, like all those taken together.
Yeah.
It's what, 600-700 million people? I don't remember exactly, but it's a big number. Right, and overall, it's a good thing. I think in Poland, it's people get it more because I don't know. I think you have to be foolish not to notice how far and how fast things have changed after 2004 when Poland joined the EU. It just made such a big difference to be, you know, partly to get financial support at the start, which kind of kickstarted a lot of things. And sure, lots of mistakes were made, lots of money put into infrastructure done in the ways that is not great. Like you could talk hours about all the things that were done wrong. But in the big picture, I mean, of course, it's better than it used to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, nobody's perfect and nothing is perfect. EU is not perfect. You know, things are not perfect. Like, as I said, again, with our Nosby marketing last year wasn't perfect, but we were not communicating the things that we were good at, which
yeah,
we,
exactly.
And that was the problem. And the same here. EU is not communicating things, and the local governments are not communicating things that EU is good at, that EU helps them, you know, and the things that really, they really influence each and everyone, right? And that's why I am pro EU. I am pro the union. I am pro being, you know, part of this, because even though we have lots to complain, if you're not inside, you cannot make it better. If you're outside, you can just complain and be outsider. So, and everything would be okay, but just recent events, when a Polish politician was voted the head of council of the EU, the head of European Council, and Mr. Donald Tusk became, for the second term, the head of European Council. And he's actually going to lead the UK Brexit negotiation.
We know Donald. We have the best Donald.
Exactly. We have the best Donald. It's true. So what happens is that he won the re-election, and the only country which was against it was Poland.
Mm-hmm. Polish government.
Polish government. So it was Polish government. So like the first question that pops to my mind is, seriously? Yeah. I mean, we have a Polish candidate for the one of the biggest, like most important, you know, head of, you know, anything in the world, right? if you think about it.
It's a pretty big deal, yeah.
It's a pretty big deal. And Polish government is against it. As the only country in the EU, it was 27-1. I mean, we lost by a landslide. There was no debate about it. So...
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, he's from the opposite party, and like, I don't know if there's many people who are fans of Donald Tusk, but he's a Polish guy, and like he's been known, like why would you shoot yourself in the foot like that?
Yeah, and in the aftermath of that, I was watching some commentary, right, mm-hmm. and especially again. Confirmation bias from Tomasz Lis, who is liberal journalist. So, but and ex prime minister, no, ex minister of foreign affairs, Mr. Sikorski. So mm-hmm. I was watching this commentary, and then it struck me that that this government that we have in Poland might do the very same thing that Britain has done. Mm-hmm. It might slowly. By accident, kind of way, mm-hmm. alienate Poland from the EU again. Not only as a government, because right now, like, we are laughing stock after this. But I'm saying that they can, like, because they are right now the ruling party, they can tell people how EU is bad and convince people that EU is bad. And mm-hmm. by a series of events again, turn polls against the EU, which is, as you said, it's ridiculous because we see the progress we've done in the last 10 years. So, mm-hmm. or in the last 13 years, exactly, that we're there. So, but if we are out, this for our company, for Nozbe, which is a Polish-based company, it's really bad.
It's really bad.
And not only for our company, but for lots of companies. Mm-hmm. And so it's not only a selfish thing that, you know, for my company it's going to be bad, but for lots of companies, this is going to be really bad. And for many people, it's going to be really bad. But, you know, this is this kind of innocent, you know, series of events that can lead to this by being stubborn like they were, not voting for our own guy, you know, by being stubborn, by being you know, by asking for vengeance kind of way, by doing, you know, stupid things. And I'm thinking if we should be, you know, more vocal, not against this party or against this government or whatever, but more pro-EU, you know, doing the internal marketing that the government is not doing, you know, saying that, you know, that we are a European company, that we are based in Poland, but thanks to the fact that we are in the EU, we can serve our customers in Germany, in Spain, in France, in the UK as well, and in the States as well. But thanks to all these treaties, thanks to being in the EU, we have access to some really modern services that we wouldn't have access before. And thanks to this, we can have our servers in Germany, you know, and backup servers all over the world. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that we can do now as a Polish-based company because of that. And I don't know, some way start, you know, advocating for the EU, you know, advocating for the EU, doing something preemptively, you know, against, because I'm just afraid that, you know, as I said, you know.
That we end up like Britain.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And for us, for Poland, and Poland historically has this worst position ever. Yeah. We are between Germany and the Western civilization and Russia. Mm-hmm. We are the bridge. And mm-hmm. and people say you mustn't burn the bridges. Well, our bridge was burned a lot of times.
It's true.
You know, so like over the history, you can check on Wikipedia. I mean, Poland as a bridge was burned quite a few times, you know, by either side. So
yeah. We've been screwed over and over, and it would be a shame to do this to ourselves.
Exactly, to do it to ourselves, because it will be our fault, you know, to be our fault of being stubborn, of being, you know, these kind of stupid things that you do because of some situations, and for us to alienate ourselves from the EU, that we are right now a part of something, we are not a bridge anymore, mm-hmm. right? We are on the outskirts, but we are still a part of this, we are not a bridge. So So really, that's why I'm afraid of, you know. And I'm afraid that if I don't speak up, if the companies don't speak up and say, you know, EU is good, we should be a part of the EU. So whatever the politicians are doing against the EU, you're doing it wrong, because we are the part of the EU. We should help build EU. We should make better EU. We should improve EU. But EU, European Union, is a good thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. But I think details matter, as always. I think my intuition is that to speak out about this effectively, to actually get the results we want, I think it makes sense to be loud about it, but do it in a very non-partisan way. So in Poland, I mean, it's not quite as bad as in the US, that there are essentially two parties and nothing else. There's more, but essentially, like, if you squint, you see a similar situation. You have the current government and the main opposition party, which used to be the old government, and, you know, it was fine, I guess. It wasn't great, but it wasn't crazy. At least I don't think most people would say that. Clearly not, looking at election results, but whatever. My point is that to speak out effectively, like, I wouldn't make it like them, the current government, versus us, this opposition, but focus on values, like you said. So mm-hmm. So not say, oh, look at this guy, which, you know, this politician, which says things better, or look at what those guys are doing better, but like you said, I mean, if EU is important, without even hinting too much that it's about the current political situation, say, like, you know, talk about, hey, look at all those great things that being part of EU brings us, and, you know, it's great that we have that, isn't it? I don't know, like, I don't know much about politics. It's just me observing and getting frustrated, because I certainly don't have much of any influence on anything at all, but, like, I don't want to do nothing, but I don't know how to do anything in a way that would be productive. Yeah. And not just polarize things further.
Exactly. That's my point. I mean, that's my point, because, you know, whenever I, like, for example, even in my, like, pretty close family, we have, like, polarizing, you know, views. And then we are, mm-hmm. like, effectively, we are forbidden to talk politics when we are, you know, dining together, right?
But see, that's kind of a problem, because I would see, right? That in myself too. And, like, most people, like, oh, like, even with your family and friends, if you know they have different views, you wouldn't talk about it. But it's so foolish. I mean, those are the exact people you can influence, or the people, right, who can influence you if you decide they're right. But like you can be on Twitter and talk about things, and it doesn't matter, because it just, you know, it creates filter bubbles. It you know, people get polarized by this and just self-select into what they want to hear. But when talking to people with whom you can have this intelligent conversation, you can talk about these things with them and ask them, why do you think that, right? You can try to persuade them of the values and like why what they say, what they think, how they vote might not be in their best interest, or in, you know, our country's best interest. But we shy away from it because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, we totally are. And also, like, people who, my experience is that people who are really interested in politics, they know so much more. I mean, they know, like, all these details, you know, all these, you know, things happening. So when you try to talk to them about values, they would say, yeah, but remember this politician once, he did that and that. And I'm like, I don't remember any of that. Like, so there is no way for me to, you know, to talk about that, because, you know, I want to talk about the values, but
they win on technicalities.
But yeah, but I lose on technicalities, because they would just, you know, totally outmaneuver me over there, right? Mm. And I had that, for example, with in my family, that, you know, somebody who's really interested in politics, he would always outmaneuver me, and, you know, in the end, I would be frustrated, because, you know, I want to explain to him, you know, like, this is how what I believe in. But in the end, it all comes down to this, you know, but this party is you know, whatever, right? Or something. And this is another thing. There's another thing that which I'm really uncomfortable with about politics. And what I see, I see this right now in the U.S. government. I see this in the you know, British government right now, and I see it in Polish government. You know, once a course is set, mm-hmm. people don't question it anymore, right? Like for example, Donald Trump is really not a good person. Like, really, I'm sorry, but I will polarize. It's not like I don't have to polarize anyone. I like you know, just you know,
no,
he's not a good person. But yeah. What happens is that Republican Party, I'm sure that there are lots of smart people there and lots of good people there. They're mm-hmm. just following him blindly. And the same goes with our government, where Mr. Kaczynski, well, everybody's following him. There's like in his party, there is like nothing happening, right? Again, people are not discussing values. They're discussing, you know, what Mr. Trump wants, what Mr. Kaczynski wants, what Mr. Theresa May wants, right? Mm-hmm. Like the leader says the course, and there is like for example, in our company, we have we are trying to question whatever we want, and you know that you have changed my mind several times already, like over, and not only you, many people. I mean,
yes.
I am the leader of the company, but we are questioning things all the time, and I am changing my mind. I'm not, you know, I'm, you know, we are, you know, and I don't see that in politics. In politics, I see this kind of obedience because of this power thing that they want to have power. So when this guy has power, although he's in, you know, not a good person, whatever, I'm going to be following him because with him, I'm going to have power as well. Thank you very much. So,
yeah.
And this later translates into this our discussions, right? We talk, instead of discussing values, we discuss parties. You know, you're for this party, you're for this party, yeah, you're for yeah. this person.
And then any intelligent conversation ends.
Then this is where the intelligent conversations come to die.
and I mean, it seems strange to me. I might be naive, but, you know, it feels like you have parties to kind of unite people who are similar enough, but it doesn't mean you have to be blind and agree with everything. And
you
can see like plenty of, I don't know, like silly stuff like US politicians' opinion about Russia and like favorability of that. And like suddenly it changes for a lot better in the Republican Party, like just, you know, last year. And it's kind of strange, like, huh, like, Is there anything that happened with relations with Russia to improve that, or is it just partisanship that the party is kind of aligned such and such way, so on such and such issues I'll just say nothing about because that's like I don't know, like it doesn't, again, maybe my naivete, but it doesn't seem like it has to be that way. You can be in a party and you know, share most of the values and disagree on those values with other people, but still be free to disagree on plenty of details of that, even if you're similar enough to all the other people in your party.
Yeah, we're coming to this point where we start understanding why the politics is so wrong. Is this fact that, you know, in our company, if somebody has a different opinion than I have, it doesn't mean they're sabotaging the company. Yeah, it just means they have a different opinion. So let's discuss this opinion. And in politics, if you have a different opinion than your party, you're sabotaging basically the party, right? So this is stupid and this is crazy. And this is why it's so hard to talk about the values. And that's why I'm discussing this with you right now, because I'm thinking, effectively thinking how, like, what can I do? You know, what, because this, I don't want to be on the sidelines where situation happens that we accidentally get out of the EU because of some stupid politicians and then people being influenced by these politicians because they just by accident just do it. Not even intentionally, you know, not even intentionally. Like, I don't think Cameron wanted, you know, to leave the EU. I think he wouldn't. But like, with some small decisions and this thing, it all went down like crazy. So,
yeah. It's also strange to me how in a lot of countries, like people wouldn't appreciate the seriousness of what's happening. Like with Trump, I mean, to me it's pretty clear that that the Democrats screwed up.
Oh yes,
like
oh, big time.
You know, like why? It just it all the things they did. It makes no sense. It's pretty clear they shouldn't have nominated Hillary Clinton, for example. And it's not about her. What she fought, what she did, but it's just from a purely strategic standpoint, it made no sense. You could see that she had, you know, she and Trump had very low kind of favorability ratings, and like
yeah.
You can argue if that's right, if that's what it should be, if she deserved that, but it ultimately doesn't matter. Like you see a danger of Trump as Democrats, and you say, nah, he wouldn't get elected anyway. Like, that won't be a problem. So, we'll just go for Hillary Clinton, right?
Yeah.
And to me, there's no question she would be a far better president, but it doesn't matter. Like, it made no sense. It was too risky.
Yeah, In all these situations, again, the politicians, they want to maintain the status quo. The Democrats wanted to have a status quo that they had. Mr. Cameron wanted to have the same thing. In Poland, it was the same thing. I mean, our ex-president, he thought he's going to win by a landslide, and he lost. Yeah. So, it was the first battle that he lost, and then the second came naturally. They were so sure of it. But again, coming back to these issues. So I think, you know, I'm not sure how yet, but I think, as you said, we should be discussing values, even though some people may disagree with these values or may think that because of these values, I'm saying that they should vote for this party, which I'm not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, literally right now in Poland, I don't know which party to support, really. I'm totally confused.
Right.
And
right.
And especially a person like me, you know, who is... again, coming back to religion, I'm a Catholic, I go to church, but on the other hand, I have lots of liberal values. So, you know, I cannot be, you know, just stamped to one thing. I am, I will be voting for people who would be representing similar values to mine. And now I don't see them on the horizon right now. But that's why I don't want to discuss parties. I want to discuss values, but I want to, you know, do some more internal marketing for the Polish people. And not mm-hmm. just say, you know, entrepreneurship is good. I'm saying also the EU is good. You know, what we do in the EU is good. But again, the question is, if I can reach this audience, right, really that I will influence. And if instead of doing more good for my current audience, I'm going to do more harm because I'm going to polarize more and I'm going to just, you know, not be understood.
It's tricky. Feel free to send us emails if you have any good ideas. Please don't send angry emails. I really don't care about those. But if you have like genuinely good thoughts on how to approach such a dilemma, let us know.